Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back again to another great and exciting sports week. This is the Expressway with Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express Billy Taylor. We are here again live on NFLAmedia.com or NFLAlumniMedia.com. You can watch us there. You can watch us on YouTube. We have a jam-packed show. We got to definitely talk about the New York Giants and how much of a disappointment last week's performance was, as and talk about how exciting the Jets Monday night game was, how we went from a series of emotions of being depressed and sad that Aaron Rodgers is going out the game hurt, and this is only the way the Jets story could probably end up, to coming back at the in overtime and winning on a punt return by a little-known guy who has become a star on NFL Hard Knocks. So we got a lot to talk about. But, BT, before we get into Giants-Jets news and storylines, what was, for me, this week, the most exciting upset outside of being upset with the Giants' performance was my man Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Todd Bowles comes out of week one with a win when everybody was thinking, counting them out. But you got to give Baker Mayfield his due. He showed that he does have some moxie. He may not be the best quarterback, but I think with that defense, with Todd Bowles kind of reining some of the renegade kind of out of Baker Mayfield, I think they may actually have a chance to make it to the playoffs, especially in that division.
Well, the reason I agree with you is because Atlanta's really not that good in the division. And I think New Orleans Saints may be a big target, but Derek Carr did not look good at all to me when I watched him. So I think that Baker Mayfield has a chance. My only problem with him is that he starts the season always pretty good, and then he wanes somewhere in the middle of the season where he doesn't come through in the clutch. And that's the problem right now. But the game that I wanted to think was one of the bigger upsets, and it probably a lot of people thought Detroit was going to win anyway, but Detroit over Kansas City 20-19 in Kansas City, the defending Super Bowl champs go down. So I don't know if it's a Kansas City getting worse or is Detroit getting better, but in my mind, that was an upset on the road in Kansas City.
Absolutely. You got to give Dan Campbell his due. He has those guys playing just like he said they would play when he first took the job. He going to be biting off some knees, chopping some butt. But I think Dan Campbell, we played together. He is a compadre of mine. I'm glad I root for him every week. I just want him to do well. And he has a chance to be the surprise football team for this year. Giants were the surprise team last year. I think Detroit is in even a better position this year. And so I'm excited to see where they go. But let's turn our attention to our G-men. And it's depressing. But I think we got to kind of, you know, temper our excitement about this team, because they are still in a rebuilding process. They have a whole roster that they're trying to turn over. And although they did perform well last year, we spoke about this at length on the past three shows that, A, the schedule is tough, and B, they still don't match up with some of the best teams offensively and defensively that we consider the top teams in the organization and in the league. And it showed this weekend. Look at the offensive line. They're young, unproven. You still got Thomas and Evans, two young guys. One is a second year, one is a third year in the league. They still have some room to grow. You got a rookie center, right? And no one has said that Glowinski who they signed as a free agent has been knocking people's socks off. And you don't, and I don't think the backup options are really there either. So I think they're still in the rebuilding process, the wide receiving core. We can go down the list, but I just want to get your thoughts first.
Well, see, the thing about it is that I believe in momentum. People say momentum is from one week to the other. But see, going into the season, I thought the Giants had they just did everything the way they're supposed to. But the thing about it is they only played Danny and the first team offense maybe one series together. And I understood that, and I can't complain about that. But is this a setback for the Giants? Because last year they opened up with Tennessee, got a win on the road, and they come home this year and lose the opening game. The thing about it is that teams who lose the opening game, their chances of going to the playoffs are slimmer. But I think because the Giants are playing 17 games, maybe that has something to do with it. But I just thought the Cowboys kicked their behind in every which way. And there wasn't any very – there's a couple good runs by, you know, Danny Jones and Saquon and a couple people. Darren Waller did pretty well. But, you know, to be behind 33-0, a lot of people turning the TV off.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I think it goes to show you, like, the Giants still have work to do. Obviously, if you look, let's just focus on the offensive side of the ball. And they were exposed. Their wide receiver core isn't good enough to match up against very good DBs. They can't get off. And you can't put all of that pressure on Jalin Hyatt, a rookie, which it takes a rookie receiver of his caliber. He's talented, don't get me wrong, but he's not some of those other guys that are coming out like Garrett Wilson last year. I don't think you can actually compare Jalin Hyatt to Garrett Wilson because I think Garrett Wilson is way ahead of Jalin Hyatt, not taking anything away from Jalin Hyatt, but they're two different receivers, right? And so when you look at the maturation process that you're trying to put Jalin Hyatt on, he won't be ready for those big games and he needs to be ready now, but unfortunately he's not ready. And you're looking at Sterling Shepard, who's coming off of an injury. Wandale Robinson didn't play. So the key guys that you need to step up and play, they aren't, I don't think they're ready to perform at the highest level that they need them to perform at in order to win games.
Do you think that the layoff for preseason hurt Saquon Barkley? But the reason I don't think so, Charles, is because, you know, he looked quick. He looked like he's back to his normal, but I don't think the team did that. And I think it's a team concept where everybody's got to be on the same page at the same time, even if you got one guy out. And, you know, we always say you make one mistake on offense, it messes up the whole play. You make one mistake on defense, someone else can make up for the play. So I don't know if it, and the thing about it, when you lose, you're looking at all kinds of situations. Did Saquon do the right thing? Did he not play in the exhibition game when he should have? Did the offensive line, are they overrated? I still think that you can get some receivers out of this, but I already know Dan Waller, the big tight end number 12, he's going to be there. And then the bad thing I worry about is when they double him, who steps up? And they got a lot of people that they can change in and out because of the receiver position. So I would go with the hot guy. The thing about it, I don't know who's hot anymore. And that's the problem with me on the Giants because, you know, with Danny Jones running for his life, it makes the job of the receiver that much tough.
Yeah, I think because of the offensive line deficiencies and the lack of time, Daniel Jones had time to throw the ball, it just highlighted the inexperience or the lack of talent at the wide receiver position that the Giants have. And unfortunately, that allows us to look at every little thing that did go wrong that week against Dallas and highlight the deficiencies even more. But I think the game plan moving forward that Mike Kafka and Coach Dabo have to kind of move forward, and I think you'll see, is they're going to go back to where they, you know, way the way they were last year. They have to start off running the ball, the run, and kind of build around that, because Saquon is going to be your bell cow. He's going to be the person that's going to either win you a game or lose you a game. If you don't, if you get away from Saquon like they had to do because they were down 16-0 in the first quarter, then you put all the pressure on Daniel Jones. And he just showed us last week that when you put too much pressure on that offensive line and Daniel Jones to win the game, that's when he goes back to first, second, third year Daniel Jones, where he's susceptible to interceptions and mistakes.
Well, the thing that I have to wonder, too, and that we're looking at all aspects of the Giants' loss to the Cowboys, is the Cowboys' defense top two in the league? I think that they've improved so much that it's pretty much incredible that they're going to be the leaders of the Cowboys. And if the Cowboys are smart, which they're not, they're going to be able to come up with situations to help that offense out and keep the defense off the field. And, you know, Dak looked pretty decent. But it didn't look great. He missed a couple of receivers. But I'm just trying to see, are the Cowboys that good or the Giants that bad?
I just think last week the Giants were that bad. Hopefully it's not indicative of how the rest of the season will go. I think this week will show, because Arizona played very well last week in their game. And so it's pretty scary, because they had a chance to win last week, which would have been a surprise. That would have probably been the surprise pick if they would have won last week, given the quarterback they just signed. They just signed the quarterback off the street and came in and he played fairly well. So this isn't going to – remember I said this is probably the only win you can kind of actually write on the board if you're trying to guess how many wins the Giants will have this year. But after last week's performance of the Cardinals, I'm kind of skeptical if they don't come right and play better than they did this past week, they may be in for a rude awakening against Arizona.
Well, I hope that Brian Daboll gets them ready to go against Arizona, because I watched a little bit of the Arizona game. It did look better. Kyle Murray is not in there yet, and I don't understand that, but he's on the PUP. I saw a couple of good receivers that played well in the defense. Played hard, but I just don't think that the Giants play the way they're supposed to. This should not be a hard one for them. They need to get back in the win column as quickly as possible, because the more you lose in the beginning, the more you lose everyone. You can lose everyone. And so he's got a lot of young kids coming. He's got a lot of guys that are first year with the New York Giants, and something's got to give, because, you know, you can't start off that way. It's hard for teams to start off that way and still make the playoffs. My only hope is that, since it's a 17-game schedule, they'll straighten everything out. But as you say, they do have a tough schedule.
Yeah, and then now let's turn our focus on the defense, because they aren't they're not getting away scot free. I know they didn't give up the 40 points by themselves. I mean, when you look at the defense, the defensive line is still a concern for me. Leonard Williams, ever since he signed his new contract, hasn't been playing like we need him to, and he needs to play just as well as Dexter Lawrence. Remember I said, even though if you look at the stats, Dallas's stats offensively were just as good as the Giants, if you look at the stats for the game. So I'm not excited about the Cowboys' offense, but when they did have drives, it kind of exposed a lot of the deficiencies on defense. When you look at their linebacker core, is the Giants linebacker core good enough to compete with the top level offenses that they're going to have to compete with in the upcoming weeks? So my concern has always been defense. I still think there is a rebuilding process. They need to get individuals in that can play well. You look at the Jets, you look at the Eagles, you look at some of these good defense, look at San Francisco's defense. You look at some of those defense and man for man stack up the Giants defense with them, we still have a long way to go.
And I totally agree with you. But the thing about it is that, you know, over these years, I don't like the Cowboys, and probably it hurts me a little more for them to lose like they did and to get down like they did, and the crowd that came to the game, they had to be totally disappointed. But I'm hoping that this is just one game and you build on it. And if the Giants can get everybody back to the same page, because they do have some good defensive backs. And we don't know about the linebacker core so far, but the Cowboys have had the Giants' number for the last couple of years. The Giants haven't even been close in any of the games. Even last year when they lost twice to them, it wasn't ever a game. They did the same thing with the Eagles. Giants didn't play well against them. So maybe it's just those two teams, and this Arizona game is kind of like the remedy that the doctor ordered.
Well, I hope so. Like I said, Kayvon Thibodeau needs to play like Micah Parsons. That's our Micah Parsons. Kayvon Thibodeau has to be better. I mean, Leonard Williams has to be better. The only way we're going to defensively hang in games, and I think for the first few weeks, our defense, like the Jets, and we're going to talk about them in the next quarter, like the Jets, you're going to be leaning on your defense to kind of support your team through this time. But as we said, we have a long way to go. We're going to talk about their upcoming opponent in the fourth quarter. But you're listening to The Expressway on NFLAmedia.com, NFLAlumniMedia.com. We will be back to talk about the New York Jets, 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 Jets. Welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me The Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We just got finished talking about the Giants and that, I don't know if we want to call a putrid game, but let's throw that game away and move on to the Arizona Cardinals. But now we're going to be talking to our Jets fans, the Jets, as we kind of look to the Jets and say we went from a tale of two cities, being depressed to being excited about Monday night game. And then when we saw Aaron Rodgers get hurt, being depressed again, and then not having any hope now, and then learning that it could be an Achilles injury, so he's done for the season. And then people thinking about that it is a curse. Are the Jets cursed? The year in which everybody was picking them to go to the Super Bowl this year, and now all of a sudden,
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Our season is over. There is no hope. We're down by two scores. And all of a sudden, Zach Wilson does it all again and brings them back and makes some exciting plays. And all of a sudden, the Hard Knocks king and the Hard Knocks darling, Gibson, undrafted free agent, and comes back and runs back a punt to win the game in overtime. It was an exciting game. But when I look at that game, one of the things that I see is going to be an issue is the Jets' offensive line was just not that good. And probably one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers wasn't getting the ball off on time. Some of the things that you saw when Aaron Rodgers was in the game is he wasn't paying attention to his first read. A lot of the pass protections, if you watch some of the pass protection, even the pass protection he got hurt, when the offensive lineman cuts a D lineman, that means he's expecting the quarterback to get the ball out of his hand pretty quick, and that did not happen. And so when you look at Aaron Rodgers, a lot of that may have been Aaron Rodgers' fault, the lack of, or the fact that wide receivers weren't getting open. Maybe there wasn't anybody to throw to, and he had to hold on to the ball a little longer. And that's what probably caused a lot of the issues with him having being pressured in the first few plays in the first few series. But when you look at the Jets as a whole, they have to play a run game. Don't put the game in Zach Wilson's hands. You got to hope that Saleh and the offensive coordinator creates a game plan that leans on Breece Hall. Breece Hall was the man. He came back off of an ACL not even 13 months after post-surgery, and he he's running like that, had over 100 yards in the game, and he was impressive. And you don't want to, I don't think the Jets or the athletic training staff wants him to carry the ball 15 to 20 times a game. I think coming off of an ACL, 10 to 15 times a game is probably the max I want him touching the ball. So you got to be very strategic. But when you look at what it's going to take for them to win the rest of the season, they're going to have to rely on that running game and that defense.
Well, see, the thing that I concern myself with is first of all, Rodgers, you know, getting hurt that first series, that really sets him back in his body. You probably could hear a big drawing in the crowd because a lot of people were tuning in just to see Aaron Rodgers. But I agree with you. I like Reese Hall. He's unbelievable. And it just shows you the technology in sports when someone like Saquon Barkley can tear up a knee and then come back and run and get 1,300 yards. And Reese Hall is going to be the same way. But what I think the Jets should do is you said you didn't like Darren Cook, but and I kind of agree with you, he didn't look that good. But I think he's just getting acclimated to the terminology. I mean, he still has to be able to, you know, perform naturally because you don't have to think about different things. And I know from a running back situation, the passing game has got to be hurtful to him. Do you know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be out?
No, I think it's I think it's Achilles, and it might be. Oh. Yeah. So the last I heard is an Achilles. So that may he's probably done for the season. I think everybody's expecting him to be done for the season. But when you look at the Jets, how many great storylines were there in that game? You go from being depressed and with no hope, a Jets fan having no hope because now Aaron Rodgers, their savior for the year, is done, to having Zach Wilson go through three quarters, not doing a thing, running for his life, throwing bad balls, having balls picked off, to making one pass that changed the game around, and that last drive to send us into overtime, and then having the star, one of the stars of Hard Knocks, Gibson, the kid, undrafted free agent that they did a whole story around, and making a team about him making a team to being the guy to win the game. So that's it. That was exciting in itself. When you look at the different storylines, it was a great, like I said, tale of two cities, the lows, the highest of lows and the highest of highs. When you look at the Jets and Giants two games. And so I'm excited about the Jets. The Jets defense is probably top three, top four in the NFL. You look at the Cowboys, you look at the Eagles, you look at San Francisco, and you look at the Jets. Depending on how you rank them, those are the top four defenses based off of week one in the NFL. And so if you can just play to your defense and don't put the game in Zach Wilson's hands too much and get that deep offensive line of the Jets together, you still have a chance to make it to the playoffs.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think it's going to come down to coaching, because if you think of without Aaron Rodgers, they're dependent on Zach Wilson, who maybe is a low-rated quarterback. He did pretty good in situations to bring them back. And that's his second time beating Buffalo. But I think he's inconsistent. And I don't think that you should play the percentages with him. What I mean by that is that if it's third and long, he shouldn't have to go and read the defense and maybe let him read half the field, because he's not good on third and long. As a matter of fact, he throws in double coverage too many times. And the beginning of the exhibition, because he started all the exhibition games, he should take the dump off. Take the five-yard pass and let the skill position that you have use their yak, you know, run after catch. And so I just think that this is an opportunity for the coach to come through. And I really hope you're wrong about Darren Rodgers, about his Achilles tendon, because I think that's longer than, you know, 8 months healing. That's one of the toughest healing injuries. And I sure hope that's not it. But I agree with you on the Jets defense. I think they're top five in the NFL. And if they can get any kind of confidence off their offense, because if you think about it, the offense goes and scores 13 points against Buffalo. It's tied up going into overtime. Josh Allen looked terrible to me. I got him down for three interceptions, possibly four. And that might be because Coach Dable wasn't there, you know, because he's the one who brought him up to the level he was a couple of years ago, and really shows you how good a coach he was, because Josh Allen doesn't look like that quote-unquote Hall of Famer that we saw last year or the year before.
Yeah, absolutely. When I mean, that's a different story when you're talking about how Coach Daboll has impacted how Josh Allen has played the last two seasons. It's tremendous. That just goes to show you how much of an influence Brian Daboll had on that Buffalo offense. But when you look at the Jets as a whole, I think, and their running backs, their offensive line, their running back, if I'm the Jets offensive coordinator, I'm telling Zach Wilson, do what Eli Manning did. He would find practical birds and close his eyes and just throw the ball up and hope he catches it. And he has one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers in the NFL on his team that will do that for him. And I think having Garrett Wilson, you saw how he caught that touchdown pass. He actually took the touchdown pass from this guy. And so I'm like, if I have a guy like Garrett Wilson, that's what all these top quarterbacks do. If you have a go-to receiver, just throw the ball up. He'll get it. And I think if he's going to be the type of quarterback that the Jets think he could be, utilize your stars. And Garrett Wilson is a star. And I think you have to start targeting him more. If you don't see double coverage on Garrett Wilson, I'm throwing it to Garrett Wilson.
Well, this is where I hope Aaron Rodgers comes in and helps Zach Wilson, because he definitely needs a lot of help. He holds onto the ball at different times too long. And I think you got to go a clock in your head. And if he gets to three, you're holding the ball too long. Dump it off to the wide receiver or your hot man, which could be a tight end or somebody who's in a shallow route. My problem is Zach Wilson doesn't realize the situation he's in. What I mean, that you have to play towards your defense. If it's something that doesn't look right, come back and punt the ball. Don't throw the ball where it can be intercepted, because, as I've always said forever, the quarterback does not turn the ball over, you have a chance to win. And Zach Wilson's, we're going to talk about that in probably the fourth quarter. They go up against the Cowboys. That's another tough situation for him. And even though their defense is playing well, you got to have the offense do something, because the Cowboys are going to put up something. But I thought that it was a big, big victory for the Jets on the road in Buffalo, beating a team that a lot of people think was going to make it to the Super Bowl. So, like I said, 1 week does not make a year, and both teams have got challenges in front of them, and which team is going to come out of it?
Yeah, the one thing that surprised me is I was thinking Dalvin Cook would be more impressive, and maybe because he's used to starting, and really it's hard when you don't start. Some running backs like to get a rhythm, kind of get a feel for the game. Obviously, I wasn't one of those type of running backs. I didn't need a feel for the game. I was just happy to get the ball once. So I had to make everything I had to make the most out of the one time I touched the ball. But for him, for me, when you see Breece Hall and the electricity he brings to the game, even though he's coming, like I said, I am amazed. He's coming off an ACL, right? We saw Saquon Barkley come off an ACL and take him almost a year to come back to his old self, right? And you see Breece Hall coming back after what, 12, 13 months, not even, after surgery, post-surgery. And he's looking as not the same. You can tell he's not all the way healthy, but you still see the explosiveness, the quickness, the vision. And there was a drop off, and that's hard to say when you're talking about Dalvin Cook, who ran over 1,000 yards last year. And I was telling you when we spoke earlier, I just wasn't as impressed with Dalvin Cook, because I was expecting the same explosiveness and the shiftiness and the speed that you would expect out of Dalvin Cook based off of last year. I just didn't see it. And maybe, like I said, maybe he wasn't getting into a rhythm because he was coming in the game and spelling Breece Hall. But we're going to need him. If the Jets are going to do what they need to do and go where they're going to go, you're not going to put the ball in Breece Hall's hands more than 15 times a game. You're going to need Dalvin Cook to carry the rest of the load.
But I hope the Jets coaching staff realizes that, because, you know, I've seen coaches in the past that will burn somebody out, wear them out, and run the running back until he has got nothing left. And if they're smart coaching staff with a home run hitter like Breece Hall, you're supposed to use them sparingly in the beginning. Because the first couple games of the year is just for everybody to get acclimated. People are trying to find out who's the better team now, but very few teams have played exhibition football. So we're not going to know until probably three games gone. But if you go 0-4 or 0-3 this year, I think it's going to be tough because there's too many good football teams out there. And so I look for the Jets to have some kind of offensive situation where they're not going to kill anybody, but they're going to utilize it and kind of play to Zach Wilson's weaknesses. Because if you can just get him to dump the ball off, not throw anything long, not throw down the middle, because he doesn't have consistency in doing that, then I think you have a chance. But like I said, this is a big blowback. The thing that comes to mind for me, Charles, is when Brett Favre came to the Jets, I remember they were 8-3, and he hurt his arm. After that, they went down. It's almost the same situation, but if Aaron Rodgers has an Achilles tendon hurt, which I hope he does not, then, because I thought it was an ankle, and an ankle could be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. But having Achilles tendon, that's definitely out for the season if it's torn.
Yeah, and I think all reports says it is. So it's definitely Zach Wilson's team moving forward. Like you just said, it's important that he manages the game. He made a few throws that didn't get picked off in the game that you're like, Zach, this is not what you want to do. And it reminds me of what Daniel Jones did in the game against Dallas. He started throwing up crazy balls too. He was getting a lot of pressure, and so he started to throw balls, and he had as many interceptions in one game than he did probably most of the season last year. He had like 3 interceptions against the Cowboys. So Zach Wilson is in the same boat as Daniel Jones is in. If it's not there, eat it, take the sack, play to your defense like you were saying, and let's move on to the next series and let's get them the next series. But they're going to have to rely on that run game. That run game that they have is legit. I know Dalvin Cook, you can, and it allows Dalvin Cook, if you start leaning on your run game, it allows Dalvin Cook to get in a rhythm, because you're not going to give the ball to Breece Hall that many times as we discussed. So you'll be able to get Dalvin Cook in a groove so he can kind of show that explosiveness and vision and quickness that we know that he has and could add to the Jets.
And I like the fact that you said running backs have to get into a groove, and I totally believe that. And I think it's up to the coach to do that, because I think in the beginning of the game, you got to set the pace, and you have to, you know, you may have to do something different that you haven't done in a while. I have zero faith in Zach Wilson. I mean, I was very happy that he came through in the clutch last week to bring them into the overtime and then allow them to win the game in the punt return. But as far as that, he hasn't shown me the improvement level for someone his age, because I know in the past, quarterbacks would sit on the bench for a little while. He got to sit down during the preseason and a little while to watch Aaron Rodgers do his thing. But does he parlay that into being a better quarterback? That's the question I don't know, but we're going to find that out soon.
Yeah, we are. And I think hopefully if and when Aaron Rodgers has his surgery, he'll come back onto the sideline when he's able to. Because I think he's a critical influence, not only for the Jets as a whole, but for Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson has taken to Aaron Rodgers. I think the reason why people have seen the maturity and the development in Zach Wilson is because of Aaron Rodgers' influence. So I'm hoping that he gets back on the sideline quicker than normal, just to be an influence on Zach Wilson and give him some guidance that he probably needs during the games, during the week of practice, so that he can actually see the game the way Aaron Rodgers sees the game and continue his development and growth.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, sure, I sure hope so. And anyway, you keep it where it is. We listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Wade. We're on each and every week talking about the world of sports, concentrating on the Jets and the Giants. When we come back, we're going to talk a little collegiate football. And then at the very end, we'll go around the NFL with the next week's picks. Don't move a muscle. We'll be back with more on The Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me The Way here with the BT Express, Billy Teller. You are listening to The Expressway on NFLAmedia.com or NFLAlumniMedia.com. We are also on YouTube, live streaming on YouTube as well. So you can check us out there as well. If you can't get to NFLAmedia.com and sign up, you can always watch us without signing up on NFLAlumniMedia on YouTube as well. Now we're going to turn our attention to college football. And Coach Prime is at it again. He is still doing his thing. He beat Nebraska, and Coach Rule, a Giants descendant of the New York Giants coaching tree of Tom Coughlin's coaching tree. And everybody's saying, watch out for Coach Prime, watch out for Deion, because their team is rolling. And being in the Big 12, They may have a couple big games. If you look at the rest of the schedule, I'll pull it up so we can look at it and see. But they may have a chance. They may end up in the college football playoffs because the Big 12 aren't a bunch of juggernauts. And Oklahoma's leaving soon, and I don't know if they play them this year. They may play them in a Big 12 championship. But Oklahoma is probably the only juggernaut that they got to go up against if they play them. That may keep them from the college football playoffs. But if they keep doing what they're doing, it's going to surprise a lot of people. They already ranked number 22 in the country.
Well, it already surprised me because, you know, I didn't know if he could make the transition from like a level three school to a Division One, and to do that like he did it and did it his way. And I like his coaching staff. If you listen to him after the post game, he has that coach speak about we got to get better every play, every week, and practice makes a big deal about it, and I got to get some guys on defense to do certain things, my defensive backs. And see, the thing about it is you get a guy as experienced as Deion Sanders who knows what to do in certain situations. He knows to bring his best cornerback over to the other side when the game gets tight. I like adjustments that he makes because I've always looked at coaches at halftime. What do they do to stop the other team? If the other team's running the ball down your throat, do you bring a linebacker up or a safety to stop it? If they're throwing the ball on you, do you bring somebody else in to double somebody to stop them throwing the ball? And I see Deion doing that. It's still early. He's 2-0, but I'm telling you, he has turned Colorado around. And they say that, you know, he's already got his salary paid for.
Yeah, I mean, there is standing room only in Colorado right now. I mean, you can't get a ticket for a Buffs game. I think that hasn't happened in about 20 years has it been like that. So he's earned every bit of the money that they're giving him. He's actually getting a piece of the gate. He made that a part of the contract that he gets a piece of the gate because he's bringing a different excitement to Colorado. You look at their upcoming schedule. Obviously, they pick Colorado State, which should be a win. And forgive me, Coach Prime, you're not ranked number 22. You're ranked number 18. So you're doing something great. But if they do, you know what? Coach Prime will probably go on a Mount Rushmore of coaches of all time. And I know that's blasphemy. If they make it to the college football playoffs this year, I mean, he's going to be the next Bear Bryant without even coaching in 100 years, because their schedule is they play Oregon, USC, UCLA, they play Oregon State, they play Washington State. All of these teams are ranked right now. And they play Utah. So, I mean, he has a murderer's row of a schedule himself. So if they can somehow come into that Utah game undefeated, man, do you know how crazy Colorado will be going down to the wire and Deion has a chance to go to the college football playoffs? And it's not like he doesn't have a chance to beat these teams, because they do have enough talent to beat these teams, because they beat TCU, and TCU is picked to go back to the college football playoffs this year. So the schedule isn't that bad for them. And it's not like they got a bunch of juggernauts. I guess the USC game is a tough game because USC is ranked number 5. But they got a bunch of talent. So that's an exciting story. But I wanted to ask you, what is up with Nick Saban? Should we be worried? Texas beat Alabama last weekend. That was the first time Sarkisian has ever beat Nick Saban in a game. Is Texas good, or that good, or is Alabama taking a step back, and are they that bad?
I think Texas has stepped up. Mm-hmm. I watched them the whole preseason. That their running back went number three in the draft. When people talk about, you know, draft running backs that high, he went down to Atlanta. They did a good job last week in getting their first win. The thing I asked you about Deion, when Deion was at the end of his season as a professional football player, he went to the highest bidder. He goes to San Francisco, he goes to the Dallas Cowboys, and they both won championships because of it. Is he going to do the same thing in coaching? Because he turned Jackson State around in about 3 years. He's in his first year at Colorado. There's a lot of excitement. After so many years, does he go? Because, you know, the coaches are getting paid now, and Deion's probably want to be a part of that. I don't know. I think Saban's the highest paid coach, but it's just like the quarterbacks. You're going to pay him much more money if he does something than the highest paid coach. So is that going to happen with Deion Sanders?
I don't know. I know Florida State is probably licking their chops right now saying, Deion, you got to come back home quick as you can, because, you know, they got a lot of money at Florida State. They were paying Deion before it was even legal to pay Deion when he went to Florida State. So you never know. I think Colorado has money too. There's a lot of money in Colorado as well. I think if Colorado, and he already said it, be careful, watch out. I think he already signed a contract with Colorado that said he can't leave at all, or he has to give back a whole bunch of money if he decides to leave. But think about this. You think those SEC schools ain't drooling over Deion? Because if they go, think about this. Think about not SEC, even ACC schools. If you're Florida State right now, even though they're ranked in the top five themselves and have a good program, but think about this. If you're Deion Sanders and you're doing what you're doing at Colorado, what do you think about the state being in the state of Florida with all of that talent in the state of Florida? It's like a magnet. He doesn't even have to say anything. He's like, if you're a top 10 player, you're able to come. Just come on over and see if you meet the standard. I mean, so I don't think he can get out of his contract, but I guarantee you a lot of those SEC schools, Florida State, Clemson, even with Dabo Sweeney, I know Clemson is like, look, we got the money. We'll pay you $10 million a year if you can get us to a national championship every year.
Well, see, the thing for me is that any coach can get out of a contract better than players can. And you know that. They could just simply say, I'm gone, and get their agent to deal with them, and you don't have to deal with it again. Even Peyton of the Denver Broncos, he came out one of the highest paid coaches in the league. And I just think if you have success from a coach's standpoint, the world is your oyster. I look for Deion because I've been watching him for the last few years because of him being at Jackson State, which is a Division III school. And I watched him really put a program together. And it starts with the ability to have players work out. He redid the work with the workout room. I remember when I was at Texas Tech, we brought in a new coach, and that's the first thing he did was redid the workout room. And I think you have to have a facility in which guys can have confidence, they can thrive in, and that's what he brings to the table. The only thing I do not know, Charles Wade, is how long he's going to be there.
Yeah, well, as long as he's bringing top talent there, like I said, they said the number one recruit for next year is already knocking on the door and saying, hey, I want to go with Coach Prime. Think about this. If you're a recruit and you want to be big time and you want to have all of these dollars coming in, you got the one of the biggest promoters in the world as the head coach of your team that they're bringing national media in every week. Think about it. They're going to be on national TV because everybody wants to see Colorado just because of Deion. He's almost become like Tiger Woods is to golf. Like the fan, that the casual person, not even golf fan, wants to see what this dude is doing because they're talking about him too much. So he's created so much of a buzz that Colorado is probably the number one game on TV, no matter who they're playing week in and week out. And I just went through the schedule. They're playing USC, UCLA. Don't you think that if you're a national TV service, you want to have that game on TV because you know that's going to be the most watched game that week?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
For on TV,
Well, see, the thing for me is that he's creating a situation where he might be the face of college football. A lot of people think, you know, people are tuning in now, as you said. Like, I probably would never have tuned in that first game of the season if it hadn't been for Deion Sanders. But I like to see what a coach does during the course of the season, and I think he's outstanding at what he does. Does this lead to other great ball players, Hall of Fame ball players, becoming coaches? Because for the Giants, Harry Carson, you know, he always thought about being a coach, but he didn't really fully commit to it. And so are there other Hall of Fame players or great ball players who feel they can lend something to the table and make their whole situation better? Because I think coaching has always been a key to me, because if you're a good coach, you can bring anybody to a higher level of performance.
I don't think so. I think Deion is in a category all by himself. It's because he is a media darling. He has always been a media darling. He's always been an aficionado of making sure that he was always the number one search topic, even though we didn't have Google back in the day. But he made sure that everyone knows who Coach Prime is. He came up with the tagline Prime Time, right? So he made sure in college that, look, I'm prime time. I know I'm going to number one. When running at the combine, if you were a number one draft pick, was out of the question because you would always get a slow time. He comes in and says, look, I'm only running once and I'm taking off after I run once. He ran once and left the combine, ran a 4.2 and left the combine. He is a marketing genius. And I think that is part of what allows him to do a lot of the things he's a great coach. He has a great philosophy. He does everything well from a coaching standpoint. But I think what sets him apart from every other player is that the man knows how to market himself. He knows how to value himself, and he knows how to bring eyes. And nowadays, that's what you get money. You get paid for the number of eyes that are looking for you. He knows how to get the eyes to search for Coach Prime.
Well, I like exactly the way he did it. And when I look at it, when he was at Florida State, he gave up his scholarship so he could sell T-shirts so he could make more money than the scholarship. And that's what he did. And then he brought attention to the defensive back. Nobody was caring about the defensive back before Prime came into it. They kind of look as an afterthought. He's the one who brought total attention to the defensive backfield position. I remember him going against Rice at San Francisco. They had battles every year when he played the Cowboys and different things. So I just think that he has been primed for this position. He studies the game. He knows the game. He's a great student of it, and he's teaching people. And I've always believed that you can teach people, you can make them better performers because they know what they're doing.
It's exciting. I can't wait to see what happens. Another great week of college football, and always a big storyline is what Colorado is doing now that Coach Prime is around. But we'll be right back. We got to go over in our last quarter, in our fourth quarter. We're going to go over next week's schedule, NFL schedule, and give you our picks as to who will win each and every game in next week's schedule, and also talk about how the Giants and Jets can win against the Cardinals and the Cowboys next week. We will be right back in a moment. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Teller. And we call it the Expressway because the BT Express is always trying to find a way down the Expressway. And I am Show Me the Way. And that's how we came up with the Expressway. We are here on NFLAmedia.com. You can watch us live on NFL Alumni Media every Wednesday at 10:30. You can always watch us on YouTube anytime. Just go to NFL Alumni Media and type in the Expressway. You can watch any of our shows which are cataloged on YouTube any and every time. Now we're going to go through the next week's NFL schedule. We're going to first talk about Giants and Cardinals. Billy, what is it going to take for the Giants to win this game? I know we talked about it a little bit.
Well, it scared me that the Cardinals looked better than I thought they would, especially with a backup quarterback they got, somebody who I'd never heard of. And they were in the game, most of it, until the end. But it shows you Washington has a good team, too, with their quarterback, Howell. I don't know if Dable will allow them to, you know, play down to the level of the opponent, because they, if you think about it, I know it's terrible to say at this point in the season, but I think it's a must win for the Giants because they got a tough schedule. They're going to have teams that are much tougher than Arizona. And if they allow Arizona to beat them, this is going to be a negative situation. If they get anybody hurt, Saquon or Danny Jones, I think it's over for the Giants. So that's why I feel this is a big week for them.
Yeah, this is a big week for the offensive line. Offensive line got to come correct. They got to play to the running game. Saquon's got to be ready to carry the ball 25, 30 times in this game. If he doesn't carry the ball at least 25 times this game, I don't see them winning a game. You cannot put the ball in Daniel Jones' hand and have him throw the ball all over the field 30 times a game. That's not what it's going to take for them to win. That's not how they won last year. And I think they have to do that in order to win the game. They can't sleep on Arizona, especially after last week's game. I think they put a lot of good stuff on tape. And I think Brian Dabble, Coach Dabble, won't have them.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bet and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Overlook the Cardinals because of how they played last week.
Well, see, the thing for me also is that, you know, you're looking for consistency in offense, and it usually takes a couple of showings to get better offensively. That was not a good showing for the Giants against the Cowboys. Hopefully they can mix it up a little bit more, because I thought they started out good, well, against the Cowboys, but then as the game wore on, the Cowboys, you know, used a special team, the interception to kind of put the game away. And it really isn't all on the defense, because I think the blocked field goal hurt them. I think interceptions hurt them turning the ball over. But I think Arizona, and they don't have to play a perfect game against Arizona. They just have to limit their turnovers. And really, I agree with you, give Saquon the ball 20, 25 times. Don't give him 35 times, because that wears him out. You know, just mix it up a little bit, and that helps the play action, because I think they're going to put 8 men in the box, Arizona, and that gives you the passing play. But do the Giants take advantage of that?
Yeah, for me, Billy, when you look at the Jets and the Giants, because they're in similar positions now that Zach Wilson is at the helm of their team, they really have to play similarly. Is like play not to lose the game. Don't put too much pressure on the quarterback. Don't make the quarterback have to win games. Even though Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson, you can't rely heavily on Daniel Jones's arm to win a game. And so you're going to have to go to that old school football where you're running the ball, that Tennessee style of football where you're running the ball first and setting everything up off the run. And it creates less of a pass rush, because now they're not rushing the passer as hard, because they're always looking for the run. They have to do more screening too, because, you know, as a defensive lineman, if I'm licking my chops, if I know I got a joker in front of me that can block me, I'm going to rush the passer every time, harder and harder every chance I get. That's when you set up the screen game, the draw game. You got to put that game back in play, and I didn't see too much of that in either the Jets or the Giants games.
What did you think of Dabo and his coaching staff offensively about their play calling? Because I thought they started out the game very fast, and then they just got slower as the game went on. And it seems like with the Giants not being able to put any points on the board, it just kind of set them back a little bit. But what did you think of his play calling, and is it on the players or on the coach?
I think it was based off of the position that they were in. They were down 16 points 10 minutes into the first quarter. And so when you're behind at that much, you put a lot of pressure on everybody. And now the defense feels as though, hey, they see blood in the water. And so it's like sharks And so they're going to just keep going, keep attacking, and just without any remorse for making a mistake. And that's what happened to the offensive line. The offensive line was struggling. The defense knew they were struggling, and it just kept coming after them. So they couldn't stay in that game plan where they were running the ball. They were, because they were running the ball, there wasn't a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones because they just didn't line up and have to rush. They had to protect against the run. But once you get down 16 points, now you get out of your game plans because you have to feel as though you have to score. And so you're passing a lot more and you get away from the run game. And now you get behind the eight ball and you set the whole offense up for failure. And then because you go three and out because you threw the ball three times, now your defense gets tired and now they're behind the eight ball because now they've been on the field for the majority of the game and can't play as fast as you want them to play.
Well, it's going to be a tough situation for the Giants also because Arizona has been hot this summer. I mean, I've seen periods of over 114 degrees, and you got to make sure that you bring your hot stuff with you because when you play in situations like that, you have to play from the offense to the defense because if the offense goes three downs and out like they did against the Cowboys, they're going to wear the defense out because, you know, anybody, if they get any kind of first downs, that means they're staying on the field a lot longer. So I'm hoping that they get some extra reps in practice this week so that they are aware of the heat. And are they going to be able to make their defense, Giants defense, get well rested because their offense is moving the ball down the field?
Absolutely. Let's go through these games and let's make our picks before we come to the end of our show. We got a great Thursday night game. I don't know if it's great given how Minnesota has played, but you got Minnesota and Philadelphia. Philadelphia didn't come out as sharp as you would have liked them to come out. Minnesota's defense is still okay. Like I told you last week and why I thought Minnesota would lose last week, their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, is not the type of quarterback that you want on a championship caliber team. And I think Kirk Cousins cost them the game last week. I know I'm picking Philly this week, but I'm hoping Minnesota win.
Well, Philadelphia beat New England, and that game was closer than I thought. Matt Jones a little bit better, but I still think Philadelphia is the team to beat. San Francisco 49ers are showing me that they have something too. I don't like Minnesota at all. I never have. How could they get rid of a 1,000-yard running back and expect their quarterback, who is immobile, to take them to the championship? So I'm going to go with Philly in that game.
Yeah, let's go to the next matchup. And our next matchup should be, let's put it up, Green Bay and Atlanta. When you look at this game, Green Bay, your guy Love had a great game. I wouldn't say great game, but had a good game. Atlanta also had a good game. They're utilizing their talent. Bijan Robinson looked all of an electrifying running back. I think there is a bright future if he can stay healthy this year. He has a chance to win Rookie of the Year. The dude is legit. They are trying to get the ball in Bijan Robinson's hand. This is a tough game to call. It's at Atlanta, but I like Green Bay's defense, I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Well, I'm going with Green Bay because I like Love. I watched him preseason. I watched him the other day, and he looked like he's a different quarterback. He looked like everything is slowed down for him. He's not in a hurry. He's not making passes in double coverage. And I agree with you with Atlanta, because I love to see running backs prove people wrong, especially now. And if the Atlanta Falcons are going to do well, it's because of the running back from the University of Texas who was drafted number 3. So I'm anxious to see what happens, but I'm going with Green Bay because of Love.
All right, awesome. Next game we have, I think, is the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Buffalo Bills. When you look at that game, Buffalo's coming off of a tough game. Jimmy G, like I said, be careful of Jimmy G. Las Vegas Raiders is doing his thing. They're playing at Buffalo. I don't think Buffalo can weather an 0-2 start. If they start 0-2, that whole situation may go up in fire. It'll go up in flames. I like Vegas on the road. They are traveling across country to go to Buffalo. It's still the summer. It's not cold yet in Buffalo, so the weather won't be a factor. I'm going to go with Vegas on this game. I just don't like the way Buffalo has been playing, and Josh Allen has been struggling.
I agree with you, but Buffalo can't go 0-2 at home, and with the schedule this soon, because they're going to have to play on the road to win. So I'm going to go with Buffalo because their backs are almost against the wall.
Yeah, our next game is Baltimore versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati's coming off of a tough loss. They didn't look very good. They started slow. It's almost becoming a habit that they start slow and end up fast. This is an in-the-division opponent. They're playing at Cincinnati. Baltimore is playing at Cincinnati. Baltimore had a somewhat decent game. I'm not still crazy about Baltimore's quarterback. I still don't think he's a quarterback that I think is a prototypical Super Bowl quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is probably on a better trajectory than Baltimore's quarterback. So I'm reluctantly going with Baltimore just because Cincinnati is still trying to get their stuff together. I'm going with Baltimore.
I'm going with Baltimore also because I think Cincinnati is still trying to find themselves because of Joe Burrow being injured earlier in the season. So I'm going to go with Baltimore also.
All right, next game is Seattle versus Detroit Lions. Seattle is playing at Detroit. Detroit is on fire right now. They're playing at home. Their fan base, probably Gillette Stadium. I mean, not Gillette Stadium, but their stadium is going to be packed, sold out probably. They got that city on fire. I'm going with Detroit.
That's a tough one, too, because Seattle was expected to start out well last year. But because of the way them losing last week, their backs are against the wall again. But Detroit going back home in front of that nasty crowd, I'm going with Detroit.
Tennessee and Chargers. I just don't like the Chargers. I can't see myself picking them any week. I'm going with Tennessee.
Well, the Chargers lost to the Miami Dolphins 36-34 in a wild game that either one could have won. So the Chargers with Justin Herbert are putting the ball in the air. I'm just going with Tennessee because they're least likely to turn the ball over. Don't like their quarterback, but I still think they have a chance.
Our next game is Chicago-Tampa. Chicago, Justin Fields looked better. But still has a long way to go. Tampa Bay is coming off of a great win last week. Baker Mayfield may be the real deal. I'm going with Tampa.
I'm going with Tampa also because I didn't like Chicago. They still have not as much talent as other teams.
I think one of the best games out of all the 1 o'clock games, Jacksonville-Cincinnati. Jacksonville's defense is legit. Kansas City is just being Kansas City. They cruise through the NFL season. This is a game that they are definitely picked to win, but I'm going to pick the upset. I think Jacksonville being at home will beat Kansas City. Kansas City is going to start 0-2.
Well, I think Kansas City is going to win that game because they don't like to start out 0-2, and that puts their backs against the wall, so I'm going with Kansas City.
Battle of two rookie quarterbacks, Houston, Indianapolis. Houston is at home. Indianapolis had a great game. They showed that they should have won the game last week. I think Houston is at home. I hope D'Amico Ryan's. I'm gonna pick Houston being at home and having more trust in their quarterbacks as opposed to Richardson in Indianapolis.
I'm gonna agree with you on that because I think Houston has a better quarterback than Indy. But even though he did look good, bad, he's a rookie.
I think this is going to be the surprise pick. San Francisco, Los Angeles. Los Angeles surprised everyone last week and won. You would think that they weren't going to have a chance to win last week. They look actually really good. So McVay must be doing something in L.A. So San Francisco better watch out. I still got to give it to San Francisco, but don't be surprised if L.A. keeps this close.
I'm going with San Francisco myself. That next game is New York Giants against Arizona. I think the Giants have to win the game, so I'm going with the Giants.
Yeah, I'm going with the Giants as well. They have to win. New York Jets and the Dallas Cowboys, tough pick them if the Jets can keep Zach Wilson off the ground and out of pressure situations that Dallas wants to put them in. They should have a chance to win this game because their defense is way better than Dallas's offense.
Well, Dallas' defense showed me something, and I don't know if that's a credible situation for me to go on, but I'm going with Dallas.
All right, Washington, Denver. Sean Payton actually had a good game plan. They just lucked out and lost that game. Washington just barely won the game. If they're playing in Denver, I'm going with Denver.
I'm going with Denver also in that game because I think that they're playing better. Miami at New England, it's going to be a tough one because New England doesn't want to go down 0-2, neither does Miami. But because they're in New England at that time of the year, I'm going with Miami.
the two Monday night games, New Orleans, Carolina. I am going with New Orleans after the game this past weekend.
I agree with you. I'm going with New Orleans. And the last game is Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Should be a good game. Pittsburgh's back against the wall. Cleveland looked pretty good with Deshaun Watson, so I'm going with Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm going with Cleveland as well.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I got to thank Ben back at the studio for always taking care of Charles and I. Everybody have a great week. And for the Expressway, for Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice evening, everybody.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.